بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our readings in the book of التوحيد by الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. We've been reading from the chapter باب الدعاء إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. The chapter which the author he has entitled Calling and the Invitation and the Call to the Testification that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. The author he began mentioning the verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla, say, and قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّد, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my path, this is my way. I call to Allah upon insight, upon clarity, certain knowledge, me and those who follow me, and glorified is Allah, and I am not from the polytheists. And then the author, he mentioned the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He says, وَعَنَ بِنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمَّا بَعَثَ مُعَاذٍ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ قَالَ لَهُ إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يُوَحِّدُوا اللَّهَ فَإِنَّهُمْ طَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ 5 صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ فإنهم طاعوك لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فإياك وكرائم أموالهم واتق دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب أخرجاه. The author he mentioned the narration of Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله عنهما that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he sent Mu'ath to Yemen as a messenger for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him, verily, you are coming to a people from the people of the book. So let the first thing you call them to be the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And in one narration, that they should make the tawheed of Allah. And if they obey you in that, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers in one day and every day and night. And if they obey you in that, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them a charity in their wealth that is taken from them, from their wealthy, and it is distributed to the poor amongst them. And if they obey you in that, then be careful or beware from taking the most precious wealth of theirs, or taking their most precious wealth, and fear the supplication of the oppressed, because verily there is no veil between it in between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Akhrajahu is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim. We've seen some of the benefits to ulama they have mentioned with regards to this noble verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. And now we begin with the benefits of what the author rahimahullah has mentioned with the next narration. He says, وَلَهُمَا عن سهل بن سعد radiyallahu anhu أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرٍ And وَلَهُمَا, and he also narrated by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Ansari radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said on the day of Khaybar. Khaybar is a place in northern Saudi Arabia above Medina. In the 7th year the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he took an excursion there and there was Jews there, Yahud were there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he surrounded them, Khaybar, Yawm al-Khaybar fi al-Aam al-Sabi' min al-Hijrati al-Nabawiyyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took an excursion there surrounded them to call them to Islam. And they had much trouble in this excursion and hardship and difficulty. And they were not able to enter the town until some time. And then the author, he's mentioning this here. So he says on the day of Khaybar, Sahal ibn Sa'd, he mentioned radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said on the day of Khaybar, لَعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. He said, tomorrow I'm going to give the banner, the raya. The raya is the flag that the commander will carry in battle. The flag that the commander will carry in battle or the one who is in charge. And he said, I will give this flag to a man tomorrow who loves Allah and his messenger, and whom Allah loves him and his messenger loves him. And so this is a great virtue here. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's with his companions, and they have encompassed a town, and they're trying to call them to Islam or to raid them. One or the other is going to occur here. It's to free them from the slavery of worshipping the creation and to call them to the worship of the Creator. So he will call them first. If they accept the call, alhamdulillah. If they don't accept the call, then they will be raided. They will be raided so that the people can reach, the da'wah can reach the people. So here they have tried to enter the town. They were not permitted. They're going through difficulty and hardship. More than one day. Several days they're waiting. Then finally on this day here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informs his companions, tomorrow I'm going to give the banner to a man. I'm going to give the flag to a man. And this man, he loves Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah and his Messenger love him. So he's affirmed that he himself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is affirming that that man, he has the love of Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he affirmed that also Allah and his Messenger love him. Huh? What do you think everyone would do after they heard this? Huh? Everybody's, who's it going to be? Me. Everybody's right. Everybody would want it to be them. Huh? So he says, Sahl ibn Sa'd, he says, فَبَاتَ النَّاسُ يَدُوكُونَ لَيْلَتِهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يُعْطَاهَا. He said, so the people, they spent their whole night talking about this, delving and thinking, who's going to get it? Do you think he's going to get it? So and so. Maybe, what do you think? Everybody like this. Even has been narrated that Umar, he said that, أَمَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْإِمَارَ إِلَّا يَوْمَ إِذْ. Umar, he said, I didn't wish that I would be the leader except on that day. And he never wished that he would actually have the flag and be the leader and the commander. And he wanted that for himself, except for on this day. And everybody wanted to be to have the flag and to be the leader on this day, to have this virtue. And it's known that every believer loves Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every believer, and every Allah azza wa jalla and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they love every believer likewise. But here, this one is specific. The Prophet ﷺ is mentioning an individual by his name. And there will be an individual mentioned specifically that has this virtue and that's established by the Prophet ﷺ, that he loves Allah and that Allah loves him and that he loves the Messenger ﷺ and the Messenger loves him. So this is a great virtue to be specified from the general understanding that Allah, He loves all the believers. But this one is mentioned specifically by His Messenger ﷺ. And all of the believers, they love Allah. But this one is mentioned, their love is affirmed by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a great, great virtue. They're all hoping that they can get it, wondering who it will be. He says, فَبَاتَ لَيْلَتَهُمْ يَدُوكُونَ فَبَاتَ النَّاسُ يَدُوكُونَ لَيْلَتَهُمْ يَنِي يَخُضُونَ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ أَيُّهُمْ يُعْطَاهَا فَلَمَّا أَسْبَحُوا غَدَوْا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam كُلُّهُمْ يَرْجُوا أَنْ يُعْطَاهَا. He says, so they spent the whole night, the people spent the whole night thinking about this and talking about this and discussing this. Who's going to be given the banner tomorrow? Who is this man that is going to be given the banner tomorrow? And he's going to conquer this village and this town and take over. And he has the love of Allah affirmed for him and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whenever they woke up in the morning, they went out into the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every one of them, he says, is hoping that he's going to be given it. Every one of them is hoping that he's going to be given the raya, the flag, the command. فَقَالَ أَيْنَ عَلِيُّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, where's Ali ibn Abi Talib? He asked for him, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Because what has been mentioned in the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that at this time and before going out for the battle of Khaybar, Ali, he was inflicted with an ailment in his eyes. It's called Ramad. Whenever something happens to the eyes and the person, his sight becomes weak. He can't see. He has a disease or a sickness in his eye. So this happened to Ali, radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, they went out for Khaybar. And Ali, he stayed behind. In the beginning, he stayed behind. Takhallafa. Radiallahu anhu. And then he told himself, after their leaving, he told himself, how can I stay behind? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to battle. And the Messenger is going sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an excursion with his companions. How can I stay behind? So some people brought him, and he is trying to catch up with the with the battalion. He's trying to catch up with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he caught up with him in the end, eventually. And then so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asking about him. Where's Ali at? Where's Ali radiyallahu anhu? فَقِيلَ هُوَ يَشْتَقِي عَيْنَيْهِ. He said that it was mentioned to him, يَرْحَمُكَ. He's finding pain in his eyes. He's finding pain in his eyes. فَأَرْسِلُ إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told him, send out for him. فَأُوتِيَ بِهِ. So he was brought. And he's going to stay behind. First, Ali radiallahu anhu, he's not going to go to the battle of Khaybar. And then he feels in his heart he has to go. He can't, how can he stay behind? And he has this feeling in his heart. How could he stay behind? And the rest of the companions and the messengers are they're out there. And I'm staying behind. So he came, even though he can barely see. Even though he can barely see. And then whenever he gets there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking for him. He's still complaining from his eyesight. So he is brought. He can't come. He's brought. Some of the companions, they bring him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأُوتِيَ بِهِ. فَأُوتِيَ بِهِ. So what happens? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَبَسَقَ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi بَسَقَ يَعْنِي تَفَلَ. He spit lightly in his eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spit some saliva. Of his saliva, blessed saliva, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his eyes, with da'a lahu, and he supplicated to Allah for him to cure him. Fabara'a, fabara'a, and he was cured. There's an indication here he was cured immediately. Some of the brothers were studying Arabic. Where's the proof here that he was cured immediately? Fa, al fa, tartib wa al taqib, al fa, to harfu alf. حَفْوَ أَثْمَنْ يُفِيرُ التَّرْتِيبُ وَالتَّعْقِيبُ. يعني بعد, after that, immediately, فَبَرَأَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spit lightly in his eyes, spit in his eyes, and then he supplicated for him, and was cured. يعني عُفِيَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Immediately. And this is from, there are two signs here, two great, great benefits here. One of them is the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His ability to do all things. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He cured him immediately. This is from the power of Allah, not from the power of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah azza wa jal, He caused this miracle and He caused this great event to happen at the hands of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not because of the Messenger himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, this is from the qudra, the power of Allah and the ability of Allah, from the signs that Allah azza wa jal is able to do all things. And after that is another sign. And another benefit in that the truthfulness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spit in his eyes and called on Allah for him, supplicated to Allah for him to cure him, to cure Ali radiallahu anhu. He was cured immediately. This is the sign of the power of Allah azza wa jal, and also a sign of the authenticity and the truthfulness of the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then he was cured immediately. Even Ali, he mentioned after that, he said, مَا رَمَتُ وَمَا سُدِعْتُ بَعْدَ أَنَا خَلْتُ الرَّايَةِ. He said, after that day, I never had any problem with my eye, and I never got a headache after I took the flag from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that day. He never had any other problem with his eyesight, and he never had a headache after that day, radiallahu anhu. After he took the banner, he was cured. He was cured by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also this is from the honor of Allah, honoring His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these great events to occur at His hands sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they seen these things and this occurred for them. فَبَرَأَ كَأَن لَمْ يَكُن بِهِ وَجَعَ. He said that he was free. Sahl ibn Sa'd is narrating this to us. The companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was cured as if there was nothing wrong with him. The whole time, just a few minutes ago, they have to go pull him. They have to drag him. They have to carry him and aid him. He can't see. Next thing I know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives the ruqya for him and makes dua, and then he's cured immediately, like nothing ever happened. Like nothing ever happened. Rather, before this, he was not going to come. And then he came. And then whenever he came, he has to be directed and guided. And then all of a sudden, he can see fine. Rather, he is the one taking the flag and he's going to face the army himself. He is the one taking the flag. He's going to face the army of the enemy himself. All like this. You see the events. This is from the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the aid and support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers and those who believe in Him. Now, so he says, فَأَعْطَاهُ الرَّايَ. So he gave him the raya, the banner, the flag. فَقَالَ أُنْفُذْ عَلَى رِسْلِكَ. He said, go, عَلَى رِسْلِكَ عَلَى رِفْقِكَ. And he, go, but take it easy. And he, don't go up there acting crazy. Don't go up there wildly or when بِالطَّيْشِ, recklessly. Go up there, go in their direction slowly. حَتَّى تَنْزِلَ بِسَحَتِهِمْ. Until you come right in front of them. السَّحَة and infina, their houses and their fortresses right before that, that's called the Saha. So go right before their place, but go there slowly. Go there with ease. Don't go there recklessly. Don't go there fast, advance, but take it easy and go right in front of them. And you go right to their doors almost. And subhanAllah. That this shows what? Courage. This shows courage. This shows courage in that he's not afraid. He's not afraid. He's going to go to the enemy right to their doorstep. Gonna go to the enemy right at the doors. We're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of you. We're coming. Either you're going to bow down to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, or we're going to come in. And you're going to bow down to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the case. They're brave. They had courage. Not a coward. It's not a coward. Now he says, go to them and go easily to them. حَتَّى تَنْزِلَ بِسَحَتِهِمْ. Until you come right in front of them. And this is to let them know that this, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. ثم ادعوهم إلى الإسلام. But this is the important point here of the author and the mentioning in this chapter. Go right there in front of them, right to in front of their doorsteps, right into the area right before their land, and then do what? Call them to Islam. Call them to Islam. Tell them about Islam. Tell them about the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tell them about the greatness of the Creator. Tell them about His names and His attributes and His right to be worshipped. Call them to Islam. Call them to Islam. He didn't say, go there to them and then burn down the walls. Go there to them and throw rocks on their heads. Go. He did none of this. This is not the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go there to them, right in front of them. Let them know that we're not afraid of them. But what you do, you call them to Islam. You call them to Islam with proof and evidence. He said, وَأَخْبِرُهُمْ بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِيهِ. And call them to Islam and you tell them, inform them of the right of Allah that is above them. That he has over them. And he go to the right to their doors, right in front of them in their courtyard, and call them to Islam. And inform them of the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inform them of the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمِ فَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ. Some people might read it لِأَنْ. لَأَنْ. This is لَمْ. Tawkeed, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَحِدًا. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, he said, I swear by Allah that if Allah were to guide by your hands one man, this is better for you than the red camels. Al-humr, al-na'am. Al-humr, al-na'am. These are the most precious wealth of the Arab in those days. And it was the most precious wealth. And if these specific type of animals, even it's known that the camels, they were very beneficial for them, especially in their lands, and they were very valuable type of wealth. But this red camel was even more precious for them, of the most precious and valuable wealth. So to have to be a means to guide one man, he said, لَنْ يَهْدِيَ بِكَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا. That you would be the cause, that Allah would use you to guide that one man to Islam is better for you than these red camels. Better for you than these red camels. So he says, the author, he says, يَدُوكُون, the meaning of يَدُوكُونَ أَيَّخُوضُونَ. And they are delving into these issues. So we see that the point and the shahid from this noble hadith and this chapter, the author, he is clarifying here, the call to Islam, that this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the reality that they fought and the wars that they had, if they were the ones advancing, that they would precede their battle with the call to Islam. So the intent from the fighting and the jihad is to call the people to Islam, not to spread blood in the land and not to take the wealth of the disbelievers, but rather to call them to Islam. Even after they were given success and they had a conquest at the hands of Ali radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took the land from the Jews and he gave it, and the Muslims owned the land. But he gave the Jews back the land as they would be workers. He took the land from them and it was in the command of the Muslims, but he left it under the charge of the Jews, and they got half of the profit. They got half of the profit. So he went there, and they refused to accept the rule of Islam. So the Muslims imposed the rule of Islam. And then those Jews that were there, the Prophet ﷺ did not kick them out. Rather, he left them there to work the land. He said, the land is ours now, and the money is ours now, and we control this land, and this Islam is established in this land. You can still live here. Rather, you can still work on your land, in this land that was yours. You can still work here. Half the money is for you, and half the money is for the Muslims. And he left them to stay there. And he let them stay there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the way until the time of Umar. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then whenever Umar came, Umar, he exiled them, and he removed them from the Al-Jazeera Al-Arabiya. So we see here the many benefits here in this hadith is the refutation of the Khawarij, those people who speak ill of Ali, and the Nawasib, those people who have enmity for Ali radiallahu anhu. And this is a clear narration that Allah Azza wa Jal, He loves Ali, and Allah loves him, and He loves Allah, and likewise the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is something that all believers, they have a portion of this. But the one who his love for Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is strong, then this necessitates that he will comply to his commands. This is the reality. The one who claims it, of course, every believer, he has a portion of that love. That love is established in his heart, and he has that allegiance with Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if that love is true and strong, if that love is sound and solid, deeply rooted in the heart, that will necessitate for him to worship Allah sincerely with no partners. To worship Allah sincerely with no partners. No big partner and no small partner. No major shirk and no minor shirk. No showing off, because the love of Allah takes precedence in his heart. So then he will only do his deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is deeply rooted, then likewise he will follow his sunnah. He will follow his sunnah diligently, and he will learn about tawheed, and he will learn about the sunnah so that he can follow it because he loves it. Because he loves it. And anytime there is a command from the Quran or the sunnah, yani a command of Allah Azza wa Jal, or of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then his soul has a command contrary to that, then the way to determine which one is the heart loves more is which one he complies to. Does he give preference to the command of his desires and the command of his whims, or the command of his family, for example, if it's in opposition to the command of Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? At this time, this is the criterion between the reality, which one a person loves more. If he really loves Allah more, then he will leave off the command of his soul. He will leave off the command of his family if they ask him or request from him to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, to do something. So at this time, that battle will go on inside his soul. And the one that truly loves Allah more, he will give the preference to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the case, and this is the reality. The one who truly loves the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more, then he will give preference to the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will not transgress those boundaries or those limits. So this is the battle inside of the heart of the believer. And to truly love Allah Azza wa Jal means to obey Him and comply to His commandments and stay away from His prohibitions, even if the soul or the desires or the people wish differently than that, wish something other than that. So this is the reality for that. Also in this narration is the affirmation of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal as a sifa. Allah Azza wa Jal, He loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the description and the attribute of loving. Naam, of loving. We affirm this for Allah Azza wa Jal. Lahu al-muhabba al-azima taliku bi jalalihi wa azamatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. From His attributes and from His traits is that He loves. Allah has mentioned in many verses in His book, Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsineen. Wallahu yuhibbu al-muttaqeen. Naam, Allah, He loves the good doers, and Allah, He loves the righteous. وَيُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. He loves those who repent. Allah Azza wa Jal, He loves. And some people, they negate this attribute, and that He doesn't love, and they try to explain the meaning to have a different meaning. But Allah Azza wa Jal, we affirm this for Him in a manner befitting His Majesty, that He loves His believing servants, and He loves the good doers, and He loves those who repent. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a believer, he learns this, he learns that his Lord and the one who created him and brought him into existence, and the one who provides for him, and the one who disposes his affairs, and the one who gives him all of the good that he has, he learns that his Lord, he has the attribute of loving. What does that do for the believer? Having this understanding, he knows now from the attributes of his Lord and the attributes of his Creator and Provider and Sustainer is that he loves. That he loves certain things. That he loves certain people. He will hasten to try to get some of that love. He will want to be loved. Allah, he loves good doers. I want to be a good doer. I want Allah to love me. Allah, he loves those who repent. Allah, he loves those who, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who created the seas and the stars and the trees. He loves those. I want to be from those people. I want this what should go on in the heart whenever he hears that Allah loves. Allah, he loves good manners. Allah loves wa yuhibbu makarim al-akhlaq. Allah, he loves good manners. So that I want to be from those that Allah, this is what should go on in the heart of the believer whenever he learns these attributes that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he loves. For example, this is knowing about him. This is tawheed. This is from his sifat, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mahabba, al-azima. So a person who learns this, a believer who knows now that his Lord loves, he would want to have some of that love. He want to have a greater portion. He want to be nearer to that love. Because if Allah Azza wa Jalla loves somebody, then who can harm him? What can go wrong for him? Allah loves him. He has the love of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. With him, then he is good. On the other hand, also, it's not affirmed here, but it's affirmed in other narrations and also in the Quran that Allah, he does not like disbelievers. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-kafirin. And he doesn't like bad manners. And he doesn't like the liars. So on the other hand, also Allah, he has this attribute also. So there are things he does not like. So whenever a believer, he hears about that, likewise, he would want to stay away from the A'udhu billah. I would hate to be from someone, a believer, he would say that to himself, A'udhu billah, that Allah would not love me. That Allah would hate me or dislike me because of what I believe or what I said or what I did like this. Or that even Allah Azza wa Jalla, he declares war with some people. أَذَنْتُهُمْ بِحَرْبَ. In the hadith of the Wali, that I have declared war. Whoever has enmity for one that I love, that Allah mentioned in the hadith, it's called hadith al-Wali. مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا وَمَنْ بَرَزَ بِالْحَرْبِ. Or like this, in many different narrations, whoever has harmed one of those that I love, yani al-Wali, then verily I have declared war against him. I have declared war against him. So then I believe, أعوذ بالله, that Allah would declare war against me. Yani, or that Allah would dislike me or hate me because of my actions and my statements. So then a believer, he learns about this. He learns about this about his Lord. And then he will try to apply it. Likewise, many benefits in this narration. The author, he's going to mention some of them. And he's going to mention some of them in the Masail. But the intent from here is to clarify that this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to call to Islam. That he came, and then even before they would raid a city or a town, they first they would call. And this is an obligation. It's not permissible to raid them until they are called to Islam and the Hujjah is established. If they refuse after that, then they will be raided. If they have already been called, it's still, the ulama they mentioned, it's still recommended to call them again. But it's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. So the companions, they all were hoping to be from the one who was mentioned here. This is showing their diligence to have goodness. So the author will read briefly to finish the chapter. Bismillahi ta'ala, he says, وَفِيهِ مَسَائِلٍ. In this chapter, there are issues and benefits. الأولى الدعوة إلى الله طريق من اتبعه صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first benefit here, and he's mentioned benefits from the verse, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. That da'wah is the way of, or calling to Allah is the way of those who follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the way of those who follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we've seen that those who truly follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in reality, they are the ones who have knowledge and insight and they call to Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, Athaniya atanbihu ani ala qadri al-istita'a. Everyone according to his ability. Some of them with knowledge, some of them with wealth, some of them with manners. Everyone is doing according to Allah Azza wa Jalla, according to his ability. Some people they don't have the knowledge to call, like a scholar does, for example, or a student of knowledge, but he has money. So he can provide for that student or that scholar, or he can buy books and spread them, or he can, many, many aspects of calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla is not restricted to be the one in the forefront. He can aid in many other ways. He can aid in many other ways. The da'wah al-Islamiyya, Sahih al-Salafiyya. Al-Thaniya, al-Tanbihu al-Ikhlas. The second benefit is to be sincere. And to draw the attention that one has to be sincere. لِأَنَّ كَثِيرًا لَوْ دَعَى إِلَى الْحَقِّ فَهُوَ يَدْعُو إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. Because many people, even if they are calling to the truth, then in reality he's calling to himself. This is a very important benefit. A very important benefit. التنبيه على الإخلاص لأن كثيرا لو دعا إلى الحق فهو يدعو إلى نفسه. Because Allah, He says, قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله. This is my path, this is my way, this is my sunnah, this is my path, it's my methodology, I call to Allah. So the author is reminding the caller that the call has to be to Allah. Because some people, although they call to the truth, and they mention the haqq, he mentions the Quran, he mentions the sunnah, maybe he's calling to Salafiyya, calling to the haqq, like he says here, but in reality he's calling to himself. He's calling to himself. And he's mentioning words that are truthful, but he wants by way of that mention to be mentioned. Yeah? He's calling the people, he's mentioning the Quran, he's mentioning the Sunnah, he's mentioning statements of the ulama. All of this that he's doing, and in his heart is wanting to be praised by the people. He's mentioning all this not for the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla to be high, not for the people to be guided, to benefit from his words and to find the truth and the statements and the proofs that he's mentioning and then go straight and follow that, but rather to follow him so that he will be the leader, so that he will have the attention, so that he will have the praise, so that he will have the status, so that he will have the rank, and he has a foul intention. So here in this verse is a tanbih, and it's drawing the attention to the importance of this, adu'u ilallah. That a believer, he calls to Allah, not to himself, not to have a status or rank, not to have fame, or to have lots of followers. We see that, and we see that some people, they call, and maybe they're calling to the truth, but really they're trying to gather people around them to have lots of followers, so they can have lots of followers. This is a foul intention. And all of this, in the end, these people, they will be exposed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man ra'a, ra'a Allahu bih. Wa man sama'a, sama'a Allahu bih." That whoever shows off, whether by to be heard or to be seen, and the meaning of the hadith is then Allah will expose them. Allah will expose them. Na'am, nasal Allah afi wa salama. So he says here, al-thalitha, an al-basira min al-fara'id. That al-basira, al-ilm, wal-burhan wal-yaqeen, and al-fiqh fi al-deen, this is from the fara'id. It's an obligation to have understanding in the religion. And to have understanding in the religion is an obligation. Obligation. What's an obligation? Aywa. Something, if you don't do it, if you do it, you get a reward. But if you don't do it, he's sinning. The one who does not perform an obligation, he is committing a sin and he deserves to be punished. He deserves to be punished. Either Allah will punish him if he wills, or if Allah wills, he can pardon him. But the one who does not fulfill an obligation, he deserves punishment. He is a sinner. This is a sin to leave off an obligation. From the obligations, it's not permissible to leave off having understanding in the religion, having basira. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. So أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, me and those who follow me. So the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, truly, they're the ones who have basira. How can you follow someone you don't know who he is? How can you follow his way you don't know what it is? How can you worship? He says, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pray as you saw me pray, or pray as you have seen me pray. How can one do that if he didn't see him pray, or he didn't read the narrations of those who saw him pray? He didn't say, pray as they pray in your neighborhood, pray as they pray in your country, pray as they pray in your forefathers pray, pray as you see me pray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His companions, they're the ones who narrated that. So in order to truly follow him, to truly be from his followers, to be upon his sunnah and upon his path, you have to know who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to know what his sunnah is. You have to know his path. You have to know his way. So those who don't know his way and they don't know him, they're not truly following him. Really, they're following desires and whims. So the ones who have knowledge, they're the ones who are following him sincerely and truthfully. Sincerely and truthfully. The ulama, they make a point here. To the basira, that's an obligation here, doesn't mean that he has to have all-encompassing knowledge with the sharia. He knows all the laws of inheritance. He knows all this one and that one and the details in fiqh and the differences of opinion of the ulama. La, but he knows his deen. He knows what's obligatory upon him in one day and one night. He knows how to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla according to the sunnah. He knows the creed and the belief of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He understands the shahada, la ilaha illallah. He knows the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows how to go to sleep upon the sunnah, wake up upon the sunnah. He knows how to eat upon the sunnah and pray according to the sunnah. If he has wealth, he knows how to give the charity according to the sunnah. What's obligatory upon him and how he recommended, he knows these things. He knows these things. So it doesn't mean that he has to be a great scholar. But in reality, if we look at the greatness of this deen, the deen of al-Islam, and the greatness of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a person, he just learned what is obligatory upon him, al-usul al-thalatha mathalan, he learned what is obligatory upon him in one day and one night, with regards to creed and also actions in worship, then he would be as if he's a scholar compared to the rest of the ummah, because of the spread of ignorance. And he's just the one who learns the foundations and the fundamentals. And he would be considered like his... Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah amongst the people. And I remember this one time we said in the Masjid al-Nabawi with Shaykh Abdurrahman Muhyiddin. And he advised us, Shaykh Abdurrahman Muhyiddin, he's the Mufti of Masjid al-Nabawi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. He advised us one time before we came back, and he told us, he said, if you just memorize Usul al-Thalatha and you go back to America, they will think you're Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. This is what he told us. Great scholar, gray beard. Here's what he told us. If you just memorize Usul al-Thalatha and you go back to your country and to your land and you teach them that, they are think you're Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Learn, he was just encouraged to memorize these texts, learn these texts, go back and teach the people these texts. And because they're powerful, this is just the fundamentals of the deen. This is what's obligatory to know. If every Muslim knew this, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah would aid us and support us and we would have victory. But because the Muslims have turned away from learning in their religion, and they, many of them don't even know what is obligatory from the basira to actually be a follower of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sincerely, then we have been humiliated. We have been humiliated. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has descended upon us dhullan, and لا ينزئها حتى ترجع إلى دينكم, and it will not be removed. This humility will not be removed until we return to our religion and learning our religion. Al-Rabi'ah, he says, min husn al-tawheed annahu tanzihun lahu ta'ala an al-masabba. And from the beauty of al-tawheed is that it is to glorify and to raise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above al-masabba, and to free him from masabba. Masabba is whenever you call somebody a name or speak ill of them, and to find fault with them, to find deficiency in them. And the reality that a shirk is speaking bad about Allah Azza wa Jalla, to claim that he has a partner or that he needs a partner, that this is to find fault with Allah and to claim that he has a deficiency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not need a partner, not in anything. Not in anything, not in his dominion and not in his command, and not in his authority, not in taking charge of the affairs of those in his kingdom. He doesn't have a partner, he does not need help to bring the sun, nor the moon. He has no partner. He does not need help whatsoever to run the affairs of his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is completely in no need of anything or anyone at any time. He feeds and he's not fed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not get tired or sleepy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to claim that he has a partner in some of the affairs of his dominion or in his lordship or in his worship, this is to find fault and deficiency with him. Subhanallah wa ma'ana min mushrikeen. This is why the Prophet he mentioned that subhanallah, and he glorified Allah, is Allah above any deficiency. And I am not from the polytheist. So he says here the fifth one, anna min qubhi ashirk kaunuhu masabatan lillah. And that's from the filth and the evil, the disgusting reality of shirk, is that it is actually finding fault and speaking bad about Allah Azza wa Jalla. As-sadisa, وَهِيَ مِنْ أَهَمِّهَا إِبْعَادُ الْمُسْلِمِ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لَا يَسِيرُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْ لَمْ يُشْرِكُ. And he says here the sixth benefit is that it's very important likewise to be, that the Muslim is far away from the polytheist, and that he is not from them, even if he did not associate partners with them, and he's free from them. الْبَرَاءَ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. He's free from them. He doesn't he doesn't make shirk with them, and he doesn't hang out with them and associate with them and take friends from them and the likes like this. He's free from them, even if he doesn't make shirk. Also, he is not, well, my ana min al-mushrikeen. I'm not from them, I'm not with them. They have their deen, I have my deen. They have their way, I have my way. They have their food, I have my food. They have their days, I have my days. We have nothing in common, we have nothing together. That we have, they have their religion, I have my religion. I don't mess with them, they don't mess with me. I don't go near them, they don't go near me. Whenever they're doing their thing, I'm even further away from them on their days. On their days, on their Christmas, on their Easter, on their Halloween, on their Thanksgiving, on whatever days they have, that I'm even further away from them on those days. And from the things that they prepare for those days. From their food and the likes like this. Those candies that have Halloween things on them, those candies will never eat them. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ مُشْرِكِينَ. The candy that's prepared for Halloween, the candy maybe it's two of the same candy, the same exact candy. But this one is packaged with Halloween and this one is not. The one that's packaged with the Halloween, مَا أَنَا مِنَ مُشْرِكِينَ. I'm not from the polytheist. I don't eat that one. I don't eat that one. Keep it. Even if it's free, if it's on sale, I don't eat that one. مَا أَنَا مِنَ مُشْرِكِينَ. I'm free from them. I'm free from them entirely. Whatever is prepared for their shirk, I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing to do with it. Those eggs for Easter, those Cadbury eggs they have, I have nothing to do with it. مَا أَنَا مِنَ مُشْرِكِينَ. I'm not from the polytheists. I'm not from the polytheists. Many of the Muslims, they need to wake up to this. They need to wake up to this. We find that some of our brothers, they're selling Halloween candy and Christmas candy. And a candy that has a Santa Claus on it. A'udhu Billah, Saint Nick. What is a saint? In Arabic. Al-Wali. And he's a wali. And they believe that he's one of their awliya. And he's Saint Nick, Santa Claus. And they have Saint Nick and Saint Peter and Saint Patrick and Saint. They have all these saints. They're the awliya of the Christians. That's their awliya. That's their version of the awliya. They believe he's a wali. They believe he's a wali for them, a crusader. Yani a mujahid fi sabili nasraniya. That's what they were, these saints, and they're callers and du'at to shirk. And then we're going to sell them in our stores and we're going to offer people them. And it's tafaddal. This is deficiency in Islam. Whether a person, he's not complete in his Islam until he's free from shirk. And so the person is selling these things, getting money from these things, eating these things, taking it, buying, selling them, giving them to their kids. La. This right here, you draw a line. You draw a line. Ma ana min al-mushrikeen. I'm not from the people of shirk. Not in any way. I don't make shirk with them and I don't participate with them in their shirk. I'm not happy with their shirk. I see the a'udhu billah. Halloween candy, a'udhu billah. Christmas candy, a'udhu billah. You go to the store, you go to Walmart in these days, you look, a'udhu billah. Cover the kids. Don't look at that. A'udhu billah. Don't look at these jinn and the shayateen they have hanging in there for their Halloween and the likes like this. We have to be free from that. We have to be free from that. This doesn't mean that you're going to harm them. You're not going to go over there and knock them down. You don't have that authority. But you're going to hate it in your heart and you're going to turn away from it and you're going to protect your family from it. Clarify that it's falsehood and wicked and evil. Falsehood and wicked and evil. وما أنا من المشركين. He said, السادسة وهي من أهمها. وهي من أهمها. This is from the most important of these benefits here from this chapter. إبعاد المسلم عن المشركين. لا يسير منهم ولو لم يشرك. لا يسير منهم ولو لم يشرك. He said that the very important that a Muslim, he stays away from the mushrikeen. He's not from them even if he doesn't associate partners. And he doesn't make shirk himself, at the same time, he's not with them. He's not with them. If somebody bought that candy, we're not going to say he made shirk. But even though he doesn't make shirk, he's not going to do that anyways. He's not from them at all. He's free from them. And that's what bara'ah means. فهمتم هذا؟ هذا يعني كما قال رحمه الله ومن أهمها. طيب السابعة قول التوحيد أول واجب. The seventh one is the fact that التوحيد is the first obligation. Is the first obligation. There are many more actually in this chapter, up to 20 or 30 of the benefits. We won't have time to read them all today, so we suffice with that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.